when we think about what does it look like when there's not enough capacity, when we don't have capacity, it's not necessarily that there'll be a scenario where someone is literally turned away and not given care. I don't think anything like that has happened. But what you will see is, for one thing, much longer wait times, people getting transferred further and further away. You know, we heard from a doctor in Central Arkansas that talked about being unable to find an ICU bed and having to transfer patients to Missouri, Tennessee, out of state, further and further away, or even within state, having to hop, you know, several regions over in a way that wouldn't be normal. And the other piece of it is that you are pushing staff to see more and more patients. So if all of the ICUs start filling up, then the kind of something has to give. And what starts to happen is you start to demand that nurses are seeing more patients than they're used to. Sometimes, you know, there may be situations where a nurse has a shift and has three patients and may be able to handle that safely. But there are times when that's going to be pushing the limits. Is there going to be one single headline where we suddenly see, you know, that there's a catastrophe? No, I don't think so. I think what instead is going to happen in ways that may be almost invisible to the public is that if you press staff in that way, outcomes will change. And you know, I would say we saw versions of this in New York City at the height of their outbreak, that it had impacts on the fatality rate for COVID, for example, that if you overload the system in that way, that leads to worse health outcomes. In terms of what has changed in the last 2 months, I think that what has changed is, whereas 2 months ago, there were maybe 70, 80 ICU beds available in the state, now we're down to 39, it's been as low as 37, and you have certain regions that have none at all, or just have just a few. And UAMS recently announced that they've postponed this for now, so we'll kind of be keeping our eye on this, but they announced a kind of team-based care model where they would have nurses from other parts of the hospital assisting the ICU nurses, but the ICU nurses would end up seeing three patients instead of two. You know, I think they have a detailed plan for how they're going to do that safely without impacting patient care, but capacity is getting squeezed further and further because cases are going up and up. The state has done a lot of things and individual hospitals have done a lot of things to add beds, but the hard limit that you run into is there's just only so many ICU nurses and, you know, they're doing their best to recruit. It's the competition has become very cutthroat. But if you don't have nurses to staff all these beds, then you can't staff all these beds. And that's when you have to start doing things like looking at staffing ratios and so on.
What is the state of the state's surge plans, essentially, that were created at the outset of the pandemic? And what did those plans include to maybe anticipate this shortage of healthcare workers that you're talking about that's happening right now?
You know, each hospital months ago developed a surge plan. So a given hospital might be doing things like, you know, converting a waiting room into a space for ICU beds. They might be shuffling staff around. Some hospitals have chosen to delay elective surgeries that would require an overnight stay. So all of these things are like, you know, they're at the margins, they're adding capacity. The challenge with staffing is, I mean, the problem has been exacerbated by the pandemic because basically when you think about what was going on in New York in March, there were a few hotspots. And one of the things that happened is you had a lot of critical care staff from other parts of the country who were recruited and went to those hotspots. You know, there were many ICU nurses from Arkansas who very heroically went to New York at the sort of height of that outbreak. But you can't do that now because the hotspots are everywhere. And so basically what's happening is the supply of nurses is, you know, they're new graduates and so on and people coming out of retirement, but it's mostly a fixed supply. The demand has gotten way higher. So you have, most hospitals rely at least to some extent on traveling nurses. The demand for traveling nurses has become extremely high. It's become extremely competitive. It's become extremely expensive. So a lot of nurses are getting recruited from hospitals out of state and even, nurses on staff at a hospital in Arkansas might get an offer to double their salary to go travel to another place. So there's quite frankly, I don't know if there's a good solution on that front. something that's kind of easy to get lost is that the bigger hospitals are used to dealing with full ICUs. I mean, something like UAMS or Baptist in Little Rock, they might be at or near 100% capacity even in normal times. The challenge is that you now more and more have hospitals throughout the state that are filling up, and there's just, you know, more and more, there's just nowhere to go. And so the only choice is basically to put someone on a waiting list until a bed frees up, and you have to kind of make those decisions along and along. You know, I think this can be a very sensitive topic because, you know, we don't want people to have the idea that they shouldn't, you know, go to the hospital if they need care. They should. But you are going to start to see decisions made to try to manage capacity where the way they go about giving care is a little bit different than it was before COVID, whether that's staffing ratios, wait times, whatever.
Just what you're telling me, it seems like, you know, not to make a generalization or anything, but, you know, healthcare providers, hospitals, as on average in Arkansas, have pretty much given up on trying to get more healthcare workers, more staff, like building their capacity, just because it has become cost prohibitive because there's so much competition among, you know, other states. And this is also a time where hospitals are seeing decreased revenues because they're having, you know, this huge surge in COVID cases, which means less attention that they can pay on outpatient procedures.
For sure. I wouldn't use the phrase give up exactly, because I think that they are continuing to do everything they can to recruit staff. I just think it's like you said, in some cases it's cost prohibitive, and in some cases, I mean, there is a fixed supply. I mean, there are, one nurse told us basically there, you know, there aren't enough critical care nurses in the world to deal with what we have to deal with. There are limits to what recruitment can accomplish. And so at a certain point, the only things you can do are either slow the spread of the virus, which there doesn't seem to be, it's hard to be optimistic about that in Arkansas right now, or as capacity gets stretched to its limits, that will have some impacts on the way that hospitals go about providing care. And that's not to say that the level of care being provided is not excellent. I think that care providers in Arkansas and hospitals in Arkansas are doing incredible work. But you know, if any situation where you have limited supplies and those resources become scarce, that has some impact. And I think that we are reaching the point where you might have care providers who are stretched a little bit more thin. The concern is that that can have real outcomes on people's health, up to and including, you know, how many people die.